Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are Dukes and Bell. Happy Friday. We're hanging out at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Come on out. Get a nice cold beer. And see the lovely women here at Twin Peaks. We want to thank again Pat Dye Jr. for stopping by. He had enjoyed his lunch. Literally was on his way to a client meeting. I've got to get out of here. And we stopped him. If you're not familiar with Pat Dye Jr., he is the agent of our first-round draft pick, Calvin Ridley. And for those who missed that interview, we'll replay it at 5 o'clock for you. Very interesting tidbits about how this draft played out. And, Mike, after hearing what Pat Dye had to tell us about Calvin Ridley and the Falcons' interest, I'm willing to tell you that this was where they were going all along. That all the conversation about a defensive tackle, an O-lineman, that really was misdirection. Right. Because, you know, according to Pat, and you'll hear it coming up at 5, guys, they're talking to him on the phone as these picks are developing. You know, the Cowboys make their selection. You had Carolina go with the wide receiver. And all of a sudden, they're like, okay, this could really happen. But he had said this last week that Thomas Dimitroff had talked to him about potentially moving up the night of the draft and what would it take to go and get Calvin Ridley maybe at 15 or 16.
And it's interesting, though, the phone calls and the phone action after the Cowboys, for whatever reason, decided not to go with Calvin Ridley. And then once the, as we said, Carolina, Ravens, all passed. Interesting, though. See the behind the scenes. If you miss it, we'll play that for you coming up in the 5 o'clock hour.
All right, let's talk to our man, Joe Corey, because everybody in the world of the NFL is talking about this new Matt Ryan contract. And when this came down yesterday, I was like to our producers, get Joe Corey on the phone.
We got a guy that can make some sense of this.
So, Joe, appreciate you jumping on as always. We said this a few months back when you joined us. This was bound to happen. But Matt Ryan becomes the first $30 million per season quarterback in the NFL. It's $100 million guaranteed. I think the big question for Falcon fans is how does this affect us moving forward with the salary cap and our ability to hold on to some of our young defensive stars?
Well, you're always going to have to make a choice because you drafted too well with the young defensive stars. There's no way you're ever going to keep all of them, regardless of if you could get Matt Ryan to take a hometown discount. Now, the one thing that you have to keep in mind about this current deal, that compared the percentage that it's taking up relative to where the cap is when he signs it, it's about the same as the last deal, and you're able to go to Super Bowl then, so I'm not going to rule out that you can get back there like you were 2 seasons ago. I always thought Ryan was going to – the magic numbers were going to be $30 million per year and $100 million guarantees for a couple of reasons. One, Tom Condon and his agent had the first $20 million per year guy, Drew Brees. And after Kirk Cousins got 84.5 fully guaranteed at signing and 28 on the average, and Garoppolo at 27.5 on an average, and he's done next to nothing in the NFL, that you're going to have to put Ryan right about there if you're going to get something done with him.
It is Joel Corey, former NFL executive and an agent, knows a lot about the cap space. We'll talk more about the cap coming up. Matt's deal. For guys that were freaking out, Joel, this will be much to do about nothing in 2 or 3 years when all the other quarterbacks that are really succeeding right now, for instance, when you look around the league and when Goff has to have a deal, or you know when Cam Newton's deal comes up in a couple of years. So right now it's a little bit of shock, sort of sticker shock, but in 3 or 4 years it'll be the average, right?
Yeah, well, look at the current deal. When he signed it in 2013, he was the second highest paid guy behind Aaron Rodgers, and now you got – multiple guys at over 20, $21 million per year. He's not even, the ink's barely going to be drawn this deal before he's no longer the highest paid player in the league because Aaron Rodgers is going to top it. I expect the deal, if what happened last time holds true, where there's about a 6% difference on the average between the two, him to be about $31.5 to $32 million. Ryan this year, then next year, if Carson Wentz can come back and play like he did prior to tearing up his knee, Philadelphia always does stuff early. They did Lane Johnson after 3 years. They're going to want to do Carson then. And in order to get him to do a deal after 3 years and buy out multiple years, you're going to have to put him above the Ryan deal. And what if Russell Wilson can get something done in this contract year, knowing that his franchise tag number is going to be over $30 million? You're going to have to do the same thing for him. So this deal is going to drop down the totem pole pretty quickly, because look what happened this year. Garoppolo started as the highest paid player when he signed the deal. At best, he'll be fourth by the time these deals are done.
Joel Corey joining us here on Dukes of Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks, helping kind of understand the Matt Ryan contract from a number standpoint, guys. So I'm looking at this, Joel, and it says signing bonus, $46.5 million. So for fans who are listening, that means once he signs, there's a check for $46.5 million. Then you look at this
Let me stop you there. That doesn't mean he's getting a check for $46.5 million once he puts pen to paper. Signing bonuses are paid in installments. And in 2013, when he
throughout
got a $20 million signing bonus,
yes,
he got 15 in March 2014. So there's going to be some portion of the signing bonus that gets paid in 2019.
A portion of it. We don't know how much. Okay. So,
but remember those NFL rules, Joel, we talked to you about when Kirk Cousins had his deal?
We did.
There was some language going back to the 60s. We were under the impression that, like, Arthur literally has to back up the Brinks truck and give Matt all that money up front.
And have it ready. All right, so I wanted to ask you about this language, though, because, you know, it says here, and I'm just reading off of what we have found out about this contract, there's no offset language, and they're saying basically that means the $94.5 million is fully guaranteed at signing. What does that mean? I mean, how do we explain that to the average Joe who's listening? What does that mean?
Well, the first 3 years are fully guaranteed at signing. And the archaic language I think you're referring to is the funding rule, that if you have skill and in-skill,
yes,
and cap guarantees, you have to put the money in escrow. And that was back then when you had to worry about solvency. The offsets basically mean if you release him, then he can double dip. That he gets all the money in the guarantee for the Falcons and every dollar for the guarantee with the new team. Most deals, or a lot of deals, have offsets where you can recoup the guaranteed money from the deal he signs elsewhere. This isn't unique to Matt Ryan contracts. The 2013 extension, there weren't offsets with the base salary guarantees in that one either. So he got it last time around. They're going to have to do it for him this time around.
Joel Corey's with us here, guys. Guy who really understands the cap, an agent, a capologist, joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Dukes and Bell live here from Twin Peaks. So, Joel, as most Falcon fans have asked us when we heard the announcement, and we all knew this was coming, but now, as we said, the sticker shock is here. How do we hold on to Deion Jones, we got Keanu Neal, Grady Jarrett's got to get paid. As your point when you started the conversation with us, we've done a really great job of drafting defense. So does that mean Julio has to give some back on the back end? How do we manipulate the numbers?
Julio ain't giving up any money. He thinks he's the best receiver in the league. He probably thinks he's underpaid after Sammy Watkins is getting $16 million a year to catch 40 balls for 600 yards and not stay healthy. He's probably going to want more money. I know some people have thought that the absence – had been financially related, but there's no way he's getting any money right now, 3 years left. Most immediately, yeah, you have two guys who are up. One offensive player, not up, but next up on the totem pole. Jake Matthews, your left tackle. The left tackle market has really escalated with Nate Solder. Good left tackle, not great. Highest paid left tackle in the league. You're going to have Taylor Lewan from Tennessee, probably top that, go to $16 million. You got Eric Fisher at 12. I think Jake Matthews is better than Eric Fisher, so that's going to be a high number. Grady Jarrett, he's kind of a hard guy to value. He's not a pass rusher in the classic sense from the interior or a run stuffer. Run stuffers make about 12, top of the market, those guys. Pass rushers interior right now, 17-plus million a year. So where do you fit him in? Vic Beasley, that's the big-ticket one. Hey, if he can come back and have a double-digit sack season, you could be looking at close to $20 million per year with him. So then what linebackers do you take care of?
You got to take care of Deion Jones. What's a top middle linebacker getting in the league right now?
Well, that's $11, $12 million per year. So, yeah, you're going to have some major headaches. That means drafting well for the next couple of years will be of the utmost importance, because you're going to need good young talent that can step in and play to balance out cap-wise and salary-wise your high-ticket items.
Guys, I hope you're hearing what Joel Corey is saying. He is a former sports agent currently with CBS Sports as an analyst. We get Joel on periodically to talk about these kinds of issues. And, you know, we talk about the salaries and the salary cap and the effect on our football team. But what Joel is saying is, whether we win the Super Bowl or not, decisions will be made.
Some hard decisions.
And financially, we won't be able to keep everybody, even with the salary cap going up. You can't pay Jake 16 or 12 or whatever it is. You can't pay Deion 12. You can't turn around and play Vic 20 and then have the Matt Ryan deal. And by the way, these other deals that are going to happen. So it's a very interesting thing, but this is the problem you have, Mike, when you draft well, which we have over the last few years.
Now, Joel, you mentioned Jake Matthews. We've talked a lot about it. We just assume that once Matt's deal is in place, do you anticipate Jake's deal being restructured this summer or during the season? When does that go down?
I try to get it done before Taylor Lewan raises the bar, because Taylor Lewan's better than Nate Solder and Jake. So if Taylor Lewan gets the deal that I think he's going to get, it's going to be over $16 million per year. And usually there's the theory with agents that a rising tide lifts all boats. So whatever Jake was going to get before that deal's in the marketplace, the number's probably going to go up after Taylor's in, and I'm sure that has to be on the Tennessee Titans' agenda. And to make matters worse, the agent for Taylor Lewan is also Matt Ryan's agent, and I've never known Tom Condon when he's had leverage to do a team-friendly deal.
Yeah, it's funny because some of our listeners and some folks here in the ATL were like, well, Matt needs a hometown discount. I don't think this is a hometown discount.
Not even close.
Joel Corey joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. I want to go back to Grady real quick, because you're right. It's hard to quantify or qualify exactly what he does. We know he's a playmaker, but if you go into the negotiating room and say he's a pass rusher, which he's not, the sack numbers are not there. You talked about the run stop. How do you sell that? Because Grady is a friend of the show. He did our show last year, Joel, and we think he's a very important part of this defense. How do you sell that to the Falcons to get that number?
Well, I don't represent him, so I haven't looked at the numbers, but I'm not looking totally at sacks. I'm looking at pressures, hits, hurries, and sacks combined. Right. And if that's favorable, then I'm using that, because that's really, to me, more important than sacks, because you cannot consistently put pressure on quarterbacks and get sacks. Like last year, Julius Peppers had like 20 total pressures, but his sack conversion rate was over 50%. I'd rather have a guy that is consistently there, because you can affect an offense with a hit or a hurry, maybe more so than with the sack, because maybe the hit or the hurry leads to an interception or a turnover as well. So I don't know what the numbers look like, but I'd start there in terms of trying to build my case to get him paid more like a pass rusher as opposed to a run stuffer.
Joel Corey's with us, guys. He's a regular guest here on Dukes and Bell. The best guest we have to kind of explain how the cap works and break it down as a former agent now working for CBS Sports here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So as an agent, just looking at the Falcons' big picture, obviously Matt just got his deal. So would you say we've got some tough decisions to make? I mean, it is the reality of all general managers that have a team that's drafted well over the years.
Oh, yeah, you definitely do. And one thing I can say that you can kiss goodbye, which was wishful thinking, I think you draft indicated that, there is no way you are going to be able to re-sign Tevin Coleman. One, why would he want to play with Devonta Freeman after you've made him, for now, the highest-paid running back on a long-term deal? So he's going to be a luxury you can't afford, because any deal you would want to pay him to keep him around that's going to be enticing is going to have to be more than you want to pay for a situational running back. So he's out of the picture. It's just, you're going to, like Bobby Wagner said with Seattle when they were going through this, when those guys were coming off their rookie contracts, you can't keep them all. So you guys are going to be in that same situation.
Yeah, and Joel, thank you for saying that, because, you know, we've been saying that over and over, and a lot of people are going, well, I don't get it. Why not? I mean, what if they're both productive? It has nothing to do with it. It really doesn't. It's got more to do with what they've already done with Free. And you've now drafted Ito Smith,
Hopefully, in the fourth round, we draft Edo Smith.
Right.
He turns into something that you feel comfortable with, you know, moving forward, that you don't have to think about going outside and maybe bringing in a free agent.
But, Joel, you know, we brought Thomas Dimitroff down here because we wanted to take some of that genius juice from the New England Patriots, their business model. They, and to a lesser extent, the Steelers, seem to be the only team that can do it year after year after year. Is it really come down, as from an agent standpoint, about making those hard decisions, when to cut bait, maybe before a guy is maybe over the fence?
Yeah, well, New England, more so than anybody else, they're the most clinical, unemotional team in terms of decisions. With players, their motto is it's better to get rid of a player a year too early as opposed to a year too late. And if you had the true New England model, you never would have signed Julio Jones to a long-term deal because they don't pay wide receivers, period, up there. They also are able to use Brady. You get Brady to take the hometown discount. They use that in negotiations against everybody. Well, Tom's not taking top dollar. He's not. He should be the highest paid player in the league, but he's sacrificing for the team. You should too. And because they always win, they're able to get a veteran or two like a Chris Long to come in there, play for peanuts to try to win a Super Bowl. And also, they will ship off players that they know aren't going to fit in long term. They can be very good players. Jamie Collins, Chandler Jones, than Brandon Cooks this year. So nobody does that model like New England does.
I ring my bell because you brought genius to the show.
That's what Joel does.
It's so true about the year before, then a year after, and they don't care. They just don't. Joel, it's always good to get you on, man. I know it's been a fun couple of days. I know it's going to be even, you know, more interesting as we move along, as you said, some of these other contracts that are going to get done. So Aaron Rodgers, how long do we have to wait? When's that deal get done, do you think, date-wise? A couple of months?
No later than beginning of training camp.
Okay.
And basically, if you missed what Joel earlier said, about 5% more than what Matt's game, maybe a little bit more. Joel, we always love picking your brain, man. Thanks for the insight.
Sure, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Solid.
Hey, man, coming up next here on Dukes and Bell, we're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, Carl. Based on what Joel Corey just told us, it might be time for Arthur Blank to pay the ponies and get involved in the Kentucky Derby this year. We're looking for some winners, guys. I know we don't talk a lot of horse racing because, let's be honest, we only really care about it when there's a chance for a Triple Crown winner, but we got one. So what do you think is going to happen for the Run for the Roses?
It's coming up. We're going to get a horse racing expert on the program. Also, your chance to win $1,000 next week. National signing bonus returns starting on Monday, May 7th. You'll have 5 chances a day with us on this program, but 12 a day right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So make sure you tune in for our National Signing Bonus Contest each and every hour. All right, guys, we'll talk Kentucky Derby. We got Mike Conte in case you missed it. 4 o'clock hour, we're going to go on the sidelines with the Dogs and talk more about Kirby Smart's new deal and what it means. Stay right here. It's Friday. It's Dukes and Bell. We are broadcasting live at Twin Peaks. Big shout-out to our on-site engineer, Eric. It's good to see Eric, man. I mean, Eric is on his game today.
How
you know?
About Enrique, man? Well, now, again, we are all part of the Entercom family, V103, WAOK, Star 94. So Eric had to be literally in two places in once, but he pulled it off. Also, a shout-out to our birthday boy, who's got, by the way, I want to give a shout-out to the ladies at the bar.
Ladies!
We've got two lovely ladies from Freeport, Long Island. And if you go just north of Freeport, you got Roosevelt, where Eddie Murphy's from.
Yeah.
But Freeport, Carl, they used to kill us in basketball because they could all dunk.
Are they still good?
Oh, yeah. That's a very productive basketball
Look,
program.
She's like, what?
Yeah. But they couldn't play baseball for Jack. Football was a push. But anyway, Freeport in the house as we're here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead.
All right, man. We're going to talk more as we get into Kirby Smart's contract coming up at 4 o'clock as we go on the sidelines with the Dogs. But right now, just bear with us because I know some of you are going, I don't watch the ponies.
All right, what if I told you and your buddies, 5 guys, put $25 in, $125, and you box a trifecta? And then you go to Vegas, and maybe you make $2,000. Is that something you'd be interested in?
It is something I'm interested in, and that's why we're talking about the Kentucky Derby, guys. The Run for the Roses, it's one of the biggest sporting spectacles I've had a chance to go. If you've never been, do it once.
That's a bucket list for hardcore sports fans.
You got to go check it out. It is an event. I was just telling Sam Tarley. And joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline, Jude Feld. Joining us, and he wants to kind of fill us in on what's going on with the horse racing tomorrow, guys, Kentucky Derby. And Jude, first of all, thanks for jumping in. I know you're at one of those swanky parties, are you not, today?
I am. I'm actually at Churchill Downs right now in the Town and Country Suite, Town and Country Farm one of the great Kentucky Farms campaigns, Stop Charging Maria, to win the Breeders' Cup Distaff a couple of years ago. And it's a great day here at Churchill Downs.
Wow. Yeah, we had American Pharoah a couple of years ago, and I hit the trifecta on that one, and we really lucked out. We'll throw some horses at you, and if you can fill our listeners in. First, let me throw what we've got, and you can tell us what you've got. We've got Audible, okay. Audible, Justify, and Bolt D'Oro as our trifecta. What do you like about those horses, number 5, 7, and 11?
That's a very solid group. Audible has run the two best prep races so far, the Holy Bull and the Florida Derby. He's a horse that has a really good late finish. He's been training well here. He has kind of tender feet, but it doesn't seem to be bothering him right now. He's looked great in the mornings here at Churchill Downs. Justify, a very imposing-looking horse, big, powerful, not real seasoned. He's going to run against more horses in the Kentucky Derby than he's ever faced in his three other starts. So it's going to be a little culture shock for him looking around and seeing 19 horses in the field because he's been facing much smaller fields. And Medaglia D'Oro, is that your other horse?
Is that, yes, sir. Bolt D'Oro.
Yeah, Medaglia D'Oro is a great story. He's trained by a self-made guy that owns him and trains him and does a great job with him. He was purchased for $630,000 as a yearling at Saratoga. He won two grade ones last year. He was arguably the best two-year-old in the United States. He didn't win the championship. They gave that to Good Magic, who's also in the Derby. But Bolt D'Oro is a fine horse, and he's really coming into his own right now. He galloped about as good as a horse could gallop this morning. Just fantastic. So he's coming up to the race good. I think you guys did a great job of handicapping.
Wow, Carl, we should stop drinking right now.
Probably. You know, I'm into these long odds. I like the big money for a small investment. All right, I got to tell you, I'm liking the horse Promises Fulfilled. 30 to 1 odds, and then I also like Enticed. Tell me about these two horses. Tell me I'm going to win some money here.
Well, Promises Fulfilled has a lot of speed, and Dale Roman told us this week that he's going right to the lead with the horse, so you can expect him to be out there flying early. And I don't know if he's got enough stamina to go the mile and a quarter, but he's certainly going to take him a long ways.
Now, Bob Baffert's got horses, obviously, in the race. He's one of the gold standard trainers. As, by the way, if you're just tuning in, guys, we're handicapping the Kentucky Derby, and we're joined now by Jude Feld at Racehorse Report on Twitter for you degenerate gamblers out there. Get that last-second info. Does Bob Baffert have some locks here?
Yeah, well, he trains Justify, so that's a big plus for him. He's got the Derby favorite right now. Justify is 7-2. In the early wagering. So they're taking bets on the Kentucky Derby already. They have been for the last couple of days. But I looked at the board right before we came on the air, and Justify is currently 7-2. So he also has Solomini in the race, Bob Baffert. Solomini's a very nice horse. He's run against some of the top three-year-olds in the country. He's an interesting horse in that he's just coming around right now. He's really learning the ropes. He's had several races, but he's been a slow learner. But he's at the top of his game right now, and certainly you have to factor him in the race.
As far as the pomp and circumstance, is there anything special about this year's Kentucky Derby? Every year, I mean, obviously there's different performers and whatnot. What's the word up there? What's the buzz?
You know, and I have not heard a word about any performers or particular celebrities. We usually, have a few football players. Aaron Rodgers is a regular visitor here. Right. Johnny Weir is once again going to be doing some of the television work behind the scenes, the red carpet stuff for NBC. But it's funny, he's noted for ice skating, but he's become kind of a red carpet horse racing commentator in the last few years.
Well, he gets to wear the hat. You can't beat that. Talking about the Kentucky Derby, guys, you might not like horse racing, but this is the one time we all pay attention. We are junkies. We love it. And we're talking to Jude Feld right now on the WadeFord.com hotline as we're live at Twin Peaks at Racehorse Report. He is live at Churchill Downs today. So just to review, we gave you our horses, and you didn't poop on it, so I appreciate that. Audible, Justify, Bolt D'Oro. But apparently my boy Jack, Noble India, those also horses to consider.
Yeah, my boy Jack, he's a big closer. He won the Lexington Stakes at Keeneland, which is
just about an hour and 15 minutes down the road from Churchill Downs. So he's here. He's acclimated to the weather and everything. He's going to need a hot pace, which I think he might get in the race. There's really – this year's Derby is one of the best ones that I've ever witnessed since I moved here in 2001. It's a very deep field. There's about 12 horses that could win a race. A horse I'll throw out to you that I kind of like is Vino Rosso. He's trained by Todd Fletcher, who's a great American trainer. Todd has four horses in the race, but jockey John Velasquez, who's in the Hall of Fame, selected Vino Rosso over all of Todd Fletcher's horses to ride. He'd been on all of them, and that's the one he picked. And I think that might be a pretty good angle going into this year's Derby.
I like Vino Rosso as well.
Who doesn't like red wine? One last question for you, Jude. For our listeners who are not the biggest horse racing fans, Free Drop Billy, a couple of guys asked us about that here at the bar. Promises fulfilled, Flame Away. But they're inside. They're all 1 through 5. With a field this big, does that matter? I mean, they're going to get jammed up on the start.
It can matter if you don't have some speed, but the Derby break is always a little dicey. You really don't want to be in the one post position. But the horses outside of that are not in too bad a shape. You mentioned Flame Away. He's a game horse. He's won on turf. He's won on poly track. He's won on dirt. He's got a lot of speed. I think the post position for him inside is pretty good. He'll get out, and he'll be in contention all the way. He's going to be a long shot, too. He's probably going to be 25, 30 to 1. But he's a very game horse and could certainly be part of the trifecta.
We've talked about it. And for those guys who don't understand horse racing, you could probably do a better job, Jude, than I could ever explain. But I always recommend boxing the trifecta or boxing your bets. Is that a good call?
Yeah, that's good because nobody's smart enough to know the exact order they're going to finish in. So if you box them, they can finish in any order. And that's a good way to play. I believe in boxing. A lot of people bet straight. And I think sometimes you get very frustrated if you have all the horses on your ticket, but you don't get to cash it. So I think boxing is a good way to go, especially for the casual player who only goes to the races a few times a year.
Boom. Jude, we'll let you get back to your mint juleps now.
By the way, Jude, in your professional opinion, last thing before we let you loose, are any of these horses a bona fide triple crown contender?
I think if there was one in here, it would be justified because he has tremendous ability. If he wins big, he could be one. The other horse that you have to look out for is the horse coming over from Ireland, Mendelssohn. He won his last race in Dubai by 18 lengths. And those are the two horses that I think have enough ability and star power that could win the Triple Crown.
And Mendelssohn's been in the States long enough where he's adapted?
He just came in. He actually, his first day to the track was yesterday. But he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Del Mar. He's been to the United States before, so traveling is nothing for him. He's a spectacular animal with a great pedigree. They paid $3 million for him.
By the way, for Jude, my grandfather, his idea of babysitting was taking me to Belmont Racetrack as a child. So just so you understand where I come from.
Jude, I apologize. My partner has money on this. What's that?
I've been going to the races since I was 3, so I understand. It's a great it's a great sport. Hey. It's great for kids.
Well, we're looking forward to a great Kentucky Derby. Hey, man, thank you for jumping on with this. Great info. And Mike and I always have a good time. Usually we have been fortunate. We're in Vegas this time of year, and we're not there this year, but we're going to be watching and seeing how this thing plays out.
All right. Sounds good. Enjoyed being with you guys.
Thanks, Jude. You
Thanks,
too.
Jude. We'll get you out for the Preakness, man. Thanks again.
Jude Feld.
Yeah, man. We're here live at Twin Peaks. And if you can't tell, Carl and I are big-time gamblers. We love horse racing. And I'll tell you this, Carl. You know who I blame for ruining this party? Because right now, if Canelo Alvarez wasn't a complete screw-up, we'd be doing this show right now at MGM in Vegas.
Yeah, it was tainted meat. He screwed it up for everybody, especially this guy.
Right now, we'd be betting the trifecta in the casino in Vegas, but Canelo had to screw it for everybody. I'm a little upset. Hopefully, Mike Conti can put a smile on my face.
All right, now we're celebrating birthdays today. There's a guy at the bar. We're celebrating. A gentleman and his wife are here. She just told me it's his birthday. He's like, all right, we want to buy him a drink.
More shots.
He's like, no, I've got to go. No, you don't. We're coming right back. It's Dukes and Bell live at Twin Peaks.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Who busy?
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, before we get to Mike Conti, we are live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. 5 o'clock, guys. You want to know how the Falcons went about drafting Calvin Ridley? You're going, Dukes, we know that. No, you don't. We got inside information today from Calvin Ridley's agent, Pat Dye Jr., who happened to be here at Twin Peaks, and we talked to him. We're going to replay it for you at 5, guys. Exclusive information you'll only hear here on Dukes and Bell.
Were the Falcons looking to move up for Calvin Ridley? Find out.
All right. By the way, big shout-out to everybody in Guntersville, Alabama. We just met a couple. They're in the ATL celebrating her husband's birthday, actually. And so they were here hanging out with us. They are listeners to the show. So a big shout-out to the city of Guntersville.
And thanks to our friends from Maryland and Long Island. I mean, Mike, I wish you were here, brother. It's a bacchanal of shenanigans up here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead.
A bacchanal.
Mike, by the way, do you have any favorites? Do you have any favorites? Are you a pony guy? Are you going to watch the Kentucky Derby when you're in Chicago before you call United and the Fire?
I think I'm going to be en route to the stadium. I love the Kentucky Derby. I really have not looked at the racing form yet, so I'm not really able to make an intelligent wager yet, but I love the Kentucky Derby. The month of May, guys, yeah. My favorite month of the year for sports because you've got the playoffs going, you've got the Derby and the Preakness. You've got the Indy 500 and all the other stuff on Memorial Day, the French Open. This is the best month of the year for sports, in my opinion.
It's a good call, Mike. You're absolutely right. I mean, it's a smorgasbord of sports, depending on what your flavor is. If you like NHL playoffs, you like NBA playoffs, you're right. There's so much going on. What you got working today, man?
A cacophony of sports in May. All right, I want to talk about
nice.
some saltiness in the field of sports broadcast, because we know by now that Jason Witten is going to be the new analyst on Monday Night Football. Is going to work with Joe Tessitore. Remember how, I think we talked about this a week or two ago, that ESPN had auditioned Kurt Warner, not the former Seahawks running back Kurt Warner, but the former Rams quarterback Kurt Warner. And apparently he didn't get the job because they went with Jason Witten. Here comes a tweet from Kurt Warner late yesterday, and he's replying back to something ESPN posted. And you tell me what you think about this. Kurt Warner tweets, "I remember the days growing up believing the best person for the job, not race, not gender, not age, not pedigree, led to gaining position, trying to figure out if ever truly applied, thinking I was just a naive kid. But if so, how did we get it so backwards?" Yikes.
Oh, snap. That's a clapback.
Well, I got to be honest with you. We've interviewed Kurt Warner, and I mean, you being in Texas, you've talked to Jason Witten more than I have.
I know Jason well.
But I like Kurt Warner, and I know that, you know, he's kind of Richie Cunningham, you know, A-OK and this and that, Mike, but that is interesting. That kind of surprises me that he would throw that out there.
And not only did you have Kurt Warner very upset that he didn't get the Monday Night Football job, you have this almost bizarre media campaign that Mike Mayock was running on talk radio around the country. He thought that he should have been in consideration. He's trying to figure out why he wasn't. So that's Kurt Warner being salty. But nothing quite compares to something that happened in, of all places, the floor of the Canadian Parliament, okay? Canada, America's attic, all the polite people in the world. We love Canada, right? Well, there is a Canadian senator. His name is David Adams Richards. He's from New Brunswick, which is really one of my favorite provinces in all of Canada, by the way. And he's very upset because he feels...
Wait, time out. You're taking that over Saskatchewan?
Well, you know, Regina and Saskatoon are two very wonderful cities, but I'm going to have to defer to the Maritime provinces, Newfoundland, New Brunswick. The lobster's a lot better on that side of the country. I'm sure you can agree, Mike.
True that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyhow...
That's where John Cabot landed.
That's right. That's exactly right. And then they named a rest stop after him on the New Jersey Turnpike. That's exactly right. Anyhow, David Adams Richards is a Canadian senator, and he's not happy because, you know, the Stanley Cup playoffs are going on, and he feels the Canadian announcers calling the games are sounding too American. And he went on a very lengthy rant on the floor of the Canadian Parliament, and here is just a short excerpt.
"Long ago and far away, when I was a boy, we wore hockey sweaters, not hockey jerseys. Reference Ross Carrier, the hockey sweater here. And we never sat in locker rooms. Some of us never saw a locker room before grade 10. Dressing rooms, they were called. And we didn't have a half wall. What would that be? We had boards. And we got penalties for boarding, not half walling.
Right
and
there.
We didn't deny a shot. We actually saved it. We didn't delay at the blue line. We stopped at the blue line. Nor did we take a risk there. What an insulting word. He took a wrist shot.
Yes, very insulted by the term
wrister. Mike Conti, is that the Lou Holtz of Canada?
Now, that's just not very nice, Mike, because David Adam Richards, as you know, and I know you know this, Mike, is a very highly respected...
He has dentures because he lost all his teeth playing hockey.
Now, that is just not nice at all. As you know, he is a very well-respected novelist from the province of New Brunswick, and he was appointed to the Canadian Senate, which I guess really doesn't have a whole lot of power, by Justin Trudeau, the prime minister. So I guess it's more of a ceremonial role than anything like that. But it goes back to the line from The Simpsons, Kent Brockman. When you hear things like that, it just proves democracy doesn't work.
Unbelievable. I love his rant, though. He goes on.
Oh, no,
when I was playing.
Now, here's the thing. Would you rather hear that guy or Mike Mayock over Jason Witten on Monday Night Football?
Oh, I'd take Jason Witten over those two any day of the week and twice on Sunday.
But, I mean,
by the way, Witten, for those who haven't heard Witten, obviously, you know, he's very good. I'm going to tell you. He's a great interview. You know,
he's a sharp dude.
He is very
but
sharp.
But Mike Mayock, is it the speech impediment? Mike kind of, you know, has his thing. But Mike's knowledge of the draft is impeccable. He knows all the young guys. He's an X and O guy. He's done Notre Dame football. But is Mike just not for the casual fan? Is that what it comes down to, Mike?
You know what I think Mayock's issue is, guys? And tell me if you agree. Mike Mayock is so knowledgeable. He's incredibly knowledgeable. He almost knows too much. And I'll take it back to hockey,
too
for
walk-ish.
Example. I'll take it back to hockey. Mike, what do you think about Pierre Maguire?
I want to punch him in the head.
Me too. And you know why? Because he tries to be the smartest guy in the room. He tells you where Matt Murray played his junior hockey and what he studied in the fifth grade and all of that. We don't care. You know, less is more when it comes to watching sports on TV. And I think that's the problem with Mayock is he's just a little bit too technical.
Great point.
But I love the guy. Otherwise,
I don't disagree with that.
I love him. And Mike, you're right. And Carl, too. He's awesome on the draft. He's a Philly guy, so I love him for that. It's just it's not a right fit. I think ESPN made the right decision. I'm looking forward to hearing Joe Tess and Jason Witten. I think it'll be pretty good.
Joe Tessitore.
Well, if you're looking for moments of hype with dramatic pauses, no one will satiate those needs like Joe Tessitore.
Mike Conti, in case you missed it, he'll join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Good stuff, Mike. He is back at the studio. And by the way, Mike jumped in yesterday and broke that news for about Matt Ryan. Great job on that. Kirby Smart got paid yesterday, too. It kind of became the back burner story after the Matt Ryan story hit. But we're going to talk more about it coming up as we go on the sidelines with the dogs. It's Dukes and Bell live at Twin Peaks. Come on out and join us, man. We got tickets as well. If you want to go check out, Mike, the NHRA Southern Nationals, we got tickets for you.
Nitro Burning George. I mean, funny cars are coming to Commerce, Georgia. Yeah, we got dragway tickets. Sorry to spin your face, Carl.
That's all right.
It's coming up next here at Twin Peaks and Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.